Laura Oakes with the news. I saw Laura. Well, I didn't see Laura. You were on the other side of the Guthrie Theater when we were there. I was sitting next to Steve Simpson, in fact, on Friday night, which was nice to catch up with Steve. Cabaret. Let me tell you, like, unbelievable performance at Guthrie Theater. Every summer, the Guthrie does a musical now. Because, look, it's hard to sell tickets to the theater in the summer, right? People are out, want to be outside. So they're like, well, what if we just did like a real crowd pleaser? So they've done all sorts of great musicals. Cabaret is haunting. Like, I was shook. I was not prepared for the emotional punch that was packed in that show. All I knew about Cabaret was sort of the Come to the Cabaret song, sort of like a sexy kind of cabaret strip club type thing. But it's really about Berlin in the lead up to the Nazis taking over. And so it's quite amazing, really incredible performances. So definitely if you love the theater and the Guthrie Theater, like the staging was just phenomenal. The whole thing was phenomenal. So highly recommend it. And I was not quite prepared. So you're a little more prepared. And if you've seen the movie, then you know. But I didn't see the movie and I've never seen that show. And it was mind-blowingly good. So check that out. 5:10, time for the D-Rush Hour News.
Now, time to get you caught up on some of the biggest stories of the day. These are the D-Rush Hour headlines.
Good evening. Our top story.
This just in.
Our top story.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin with the lead.
And the story many people are going to be talking about tonight is the fact that the Xcel Energy Center officially has a new naming rights sponsor. Grand Casino Arena is the new name of this facility. It is a 14-year deal with that St. Paul Arena, and the money in the naming rights goes to the Minnesota Wild. The amount of money that's being spent has not been disclosed, but it is characterized as multi-millions per year over 14 years. I asked the chief executive officer of Grand Casino, which is owned and operated by the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. I asked Rhonda Weisnegger what made them want to go out and get this naming rights.
Excited to be to this point where we can actually announce and communicate, and just really proud, right? As a member of the team at Grand Casino, it's just proud to honor the band's legacy through bold moves such as this and advancing our visibility throughout the state of Minnesota. I'm really excited right now.
Yeah, I bet. Why did the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe, why were they interested in having the Grand Casino name on the arena?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's several reasons, right? So we kind of take a look at opportunities. The tribe has made the investment into the downtown St. Paul environment. We do have the two hotels that are down there. So it just seemed like a good fit for us to continue that partnership. I mean, you have a world-class entertainment brand. You actually have two of them, right? So we partnership. We have shared values with the Minnesota Wild in regards to keeping those great memories alive for both current guests and new guests alike.
Yeah, I
think it seemed like a perfect fit.
I think a lot of people don't realize that the Mille Lacs Band, through the Mille Lacs Corporate Ventures operation, owns the Intercon right on the riverfront and the DoubleTree by Hilton in downtown St. Paul.
Correct.
So you guys are a significant player in downtown St. Paul already.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense from that perspective, right? Rhonda Weisnegger, the chief executive officer of Grand Casino, is with us. For sure, Rhonda, you've heard like some people are trying to come up with the appropriate nickname. We have the bank for the Gophers. What do you have a favorite? What do you want? Well, you probably want to call it Grand Casino Arena.
We do. Yep, we love the name that's been identified, Grand Casino Arena, and we'll continue to broadcast and promote that.
Jackpot? What about the jackpot? I feel like that would be a good nickname.
Yeah, we've heard a ton of nicknames.
I'm sure, right? I know. It'll be interesting where fans end up. But, Grant, because I will say this, like, I am so glad that the naming rights partner is an important civic partner in our state. I think the worst case scenario was like some sort of random Bitcoin e-commerce type thing that may or may not be around. We know Grand Casino is going to be here for the length of this partnership.
Yes, absolutely. You know, this is a historic milestone for Grand Casino, and we're proud to be a part of it. A tribally owned enterprise with the naming right on a major league sports venue. Again, I think it just demonstrates how tribal businesses are leading, innovating, and shaping the future for not only Native communities, but certainly the overarching state.
That is Rhonda Weissnagger, who is the chief executive officer of Grand Casino, Mille Lacs, Grand Casino, Hinckley, now Grand Casino Arena, which Jonathan, who is watching on YouTube, says maybe they'll add blackjack and slot machines right next to your seat. You know, I mean, hey, if the Wild game is going south or you got a bad concert you're stuck at, just, you know, give the slots a spin. Why not? Next up, the Senate right now is sort of trudging through votes. Voting continued in the Senate over President Donald Trump's what he's called the Big Beautiful Bill. Senator Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski have crossed party lines supporting Democrats' attempt to strip a provision that would block Medicaid funds for paying for Planned Parenthood. So lots of votes as this thing goes on. But one thing making news today is one senator who tells reporters that he just wants to go home, Senator John Fetterman, who is a Democrat from Pennsylvania.
Oh, my God. I just want to go home. I've missed our entire trip to the beach. My family's going to be back before we that. So, and again, I'm going to vote no. There's no drama. You know, the votes are going to go. In fact, the only interesting votes are going to be on the margin, whether that's Collins or Johnson and those. But all the Democrats, we all know how that's going to go. I don't think it's really helpful to put people here till when some ungodly hour. And again,
thank you, sir.
Thank you, Senator.
Oh, boy. You know, at a certain point, you should maybe just retire, right? Like, I get it. Like, yes, it is stupid that this gets sort of dragged on so everyone can do their performative duty. But that is your job. The performative standing up for something, even though you're going to lose. Why are you a senator? If you don't want to do that, be a governor. Be an executive. You are part of a legislative body. That is the gig. So I'm sorry you're missing your beach vacation. Oh, my goodness. No wonder Democrats around the country are like, what are we? What are we doing to stand up to this? Well, one of your Senate Democrats would rather be at the beach. I mean, I'd rather be at the beach than here, but I'm not a senator. I'm just doing a talk show host. Were you awoken in the early morning hours, Saturday, Sunday, by the tornado warnings? The Weather Service confirming that I think they're at four tornadoes that touched down on Sunday, early Sunday morning in Carver County. Let's bring in Erica Hasek, who is a meteorologist with the Weather Service here in the Twin Cities, because I want to talk a little bit about overnight storms. Eric, thanks so much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Jason, thanks for having me.
Is four the right number? Is that how many tornadoes were confirmed over the weekend?
So we've been able to confirm four tracks, but we actually think that there were five based on radar. We're actually able to see signs of damage on our radar, and we found five separate areas of damage with these rotation tracks. We just need to kind of look at some more data to try to find the tracks through various farm fields. It's still a little bit early in the year to find those tracks, so we need a little bit more data to look at.
Eric, does it really matter? I mean, if it's a tornado taking out a farm field or something, does it really matter what the number is?
Well, I mean, it, for science, it's nice to try to get it as accurate as possible. But,
wait,
you know,
so
reality,
just say no, Eric. For science, I think, no, of course. For science, it matters, but there's no practical effect, is there?
There is. It helps to get it right. But, yeah, but in terms of the tornado versus straight-line wind damage, in reality, a 70-mile-an-hour wind is 70-mile-an-hour winds, whether it's spinning or in a straight line. It still doesn't cause the same amount of damage.
That's exactly right. I wanted to ask about the sort of middle-of-the-night thing, because we have a lot more ways to be alerted and find out about tornadoes than I think we've ever had before. But overnight storms always creep me out. They make me nervous. Not creep me out, but they make me nervous because, you know, you're asleep. How much should we be concerned about those storms that pop up in the overnights?
It's really concerning for us because our job is to, you know, see these rotation on radar, get the warning out before the tornado actually happens, so then people get the warning and are able to take shelter. And in the middle of the night, you know, people aren't listening to the radio. They're not watching TV. They're not, you know, maybe not hearing sirens outside. So one of the good things we have is your cell phone should go off. And I know it woke me up at 12:30 in the morning. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really important for us that people are able to get those warnings even in the middle of the night when they may be sleeping.
Is there anything that people need to do with their phone to make sure those are activated, or do most people just have it sort of automatically set up?
So I believe they're all on by default, right? Amber alerts, disaster declarations, tornado warnings, flash flood warnings are all on your phone by default. Now, you can turn them off. We obviously recommend that you do not, but I believe that unless you actually go in there and turn them off, that they should be on for everybody. And if you do have yours turned off, maybe this past Saturday night was a wake-up call to maybe at least turn the tornado warnings back on.
One of the things that I admire is the fact that, like, so I live in Maple Grove, and we were out of sort of the triangle or out of the quadrant of the tornado warning. So I did not get, you know, my phone didn't go off. It is amazing to me how you try to make the zone as narrow as possible.
Yeah, I mean, our job is we can't get we can't get 100% perfect rating on tornado warnings, right? There's going to be some false alarms, but if we're going to have a false alarm, we want it to be as small as possible, so we're not waking up hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people in the middle of the night that don't need to be woken up. So yeah, we're actually able to draw these boxes on our warnings, and if the cell phone tower your phone is using is in that warning, you're going to get the alert. And meanwhile, if you're maybe in the next town over outside of the warning, you shouldn't. So that way we're really able to limit the number of false alarms we're giving people.
It's pretty cool. And there was damage, lots of trees down, quite a bit of power outage, 50,000 or so folks without power. But no loss of life that I've heard about. So that's what it's all about, right?
That's what we're here for. 24/7, 365, 12:30 in the morning on a Saturday night. We're watching the radar and trying to keep people safe. And it's, that always makes us happy when, even though there was tornadoes and some damage, no one got hurt. That's all we're here for.
We appreciate you guys, Eric, the whole team out there at the National Weather Service in Chanhassen. And thank you for your work this weekend. And thanks for spending a couple minutes with us today.
All right. Yeah, again, thanks for having us. Have a good one.
Eric Ahasek, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in the Twin Cities. Page 2 is on the way in just a couple of minutes. Then we'll have Dave Schwartz with us. Yoplait, no longer owned by General Mills. Do you hate waiting for a Target employee to come unlock the laundry detergent or toothpaste? To change maybe on the way when we come back. All right, D-Rush Hour News headlines, page 2. Let's get started with yogurt. Because Yoplait now has owners that befit its French-sounding name.
Yoplait. Real good, real fruit, real smooth.
Minnesota Star Tribune reporting that General Mills sold and finalized the $2.1 billion sale of the North American yogurt business today. 50 years they've sold Yoplait. Now, French dairy giant Lactalis now takes the reins of Yoplait, Go-Gurt, Mountain High, and some other brands. They opened a Minnetonka office for the 200 Minnesota-based and remote employees who will run the new Midwest Yogurt division. So some of those people moving from Mills and Golden Valley over to the new Lactalis USA, world's largest dairy company, $35 billion in revenue. They own President Cheese, Cracker Barrel Cheese, Stonyfield Organic Yogurt. General Mills kind of missed the boat on Greek yogurt and other innovations from the past decade. So Chobani came along. I never know how to say it. But General Mills was dominant. It started in 1977, bought the rights to Yoplait. Do you hate waiting at Target for like the little, you know, you need the employee to come over and open up the dang thing to get a tube of toothpaste?
God, I hope someone walks up soon so I can say welcome to Target. I just want to say welcome to Target. I just want to say welcome to Target to somebody. Welcome to Target!
Minneapolis St. Paul Business Journal reporting that Target is working on smartphone technology. Bloomberg initially reported on this based on an internal meeting at Target. So, you know, right now you got to push the button, wait for somebody to come up. They take a key, they open her up. Then they sit there and judge you as you pick whatever laundry detergent or toothpaste or shampoo or whatever. They're looking to replace it with a smartphone-driven app. You know, you can check into a hotel and use your phone to open your hotel room. Walmart and CVS both have systems like that. In theory, Dan Cook and Jason DeRusha will be able to unlock the cabinet ourselves. Target is not testing the do-it-yourself option yet, but like a employee could do it with an app. And then theoretically, like if you're part of Target Circle or something, maybe they would let you do that. And a decades-long dispute about a former dump. Ooh. Now, can you guess what they want to turn that dump into based on Dan's sound design? Okay, a high-tech driving range and a pickleball stadium. You guessed it. You got that right. Pioneer Press reporting about this. This is a pretty interesting story because this family has owned this plot of land that used to be a dump. It was the freeway dump from 1960 to 1969. And this is the chalet driving range is here, 35W in the Minnesota River in Burnsville. You probably see it if you go by on 35W. Well, the family that owns it wants to turn it into a more of a regular facility, but Minnesota Pollution Control Agency is a little concerned about this dump that, you know, there were no regulations about any of this stuff, really. In 1960 to 69, it's close to the river, so there's a little bit of an impasse there. That is the D-Rush Hour News headlines. We are minutes away for Dave Schwartz time. We'll talk about the Minnesota Twins, who ran into a tough pitching opponent yesterday. The latest on the Lynx in the Commissioner's Cup tomorrow and other nonsense. Plus, a lot of Timberwolves news over the weekend, too. Dave Schwartz in a minute on CCO. Play all the songs there, Dave. Nice to have you with us.
You see, you're just messing with me now.
You see what happened was.
That's the Dan Hayes walk-up music.
Yeah.
And so you got.
He's great, too.
Yeah. Two? Oh, you're putting yourself in that category. I like
that. Not in Dan Hayes' category, no. He's a respected journalist.
You're a former. Hey, you work for the Minnesota Wild.
Yes, I do. That's correct.
And are you getting some of this Grand Casino money? Is this just... No?
Yeah.
I think it's a good name. I like... I was at Grand Casino in Mille Lacs, like they redid the rooms up there. But we were talking to the CEO. I think a lot of people don't realize that the corporate ventures side of the Mille Lacs band, like they own the Intercontinental in downtown St. Paul, that hotel. Yeah. Like they have a bunch of hotel holdings. So it's sort of they're already pretty invested in downtown St. Paul. So
it's very exciting. It's an exciting day for us. I kind of heard the news with everybody else today. And yes, first time, you know, we haven't done this. We haven't had a name change in a long time. So it's all kind of uncharted territory. But
aren't you glad it's not like the e.com mortgage home, you know, Bitcoin, whatever nonsense?
I, you know what? Whatever the name was going to be, I would have been just fine.
Yep. Gosh, what a good corporate.
As long as the door is still open on my office, I'm good, Dave.
That's beautiful. Dave Schwartz with us. Timberwolves. I want to start with the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Because I have to admit, I'm a little, I guess, pleasantly surprised that they managed to make it work to both bring Naz Reid back and Julius Randle. I think, I don't know, what's your take? I think the Randle deal is a pretty good deal for both parties. It's good money for Julius, probably better than he'd get in the free agent market. I don't know.
What it signaled to me is that we've never had this for basketball or sports in general, I think, in this town, that the Timberwolves have truly become a destination team that guys want to play and pay for. And whether Julius Randle or Naz Reid could have gotten more money on the open market, they wanted to, more than anything, they want to win. And you look at this team that's now made the Western Conference Finals 2 years in a row. You've got a young core and a star in Anthony Edwards. And now you've got ownership, two new owners that have proven that they're willing to spend money. And Tim Connelly is willing to do whatever it takes to get the right guys here. I think for Timberwolves fans, this signals the first time, I think, in a really long time, maybe ever, that Minnesota is a destination place for basketball.
Interesting. Yeah, it's true. It's true. And because I thought Naz, like, look, it's hard to be the backup, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to be the sixth man when you know you're good enough to start and you want the minutes, you want the challenge. It's sort of like being a weekend sports guy or like a morning news anchor. You're like, I will put me in. Come on, coach, put me in. And then, you know, do you want to, what do you do?
Well, here's the difference, though, is that Naz Reid, at least his salary, you know, they're paying him almost like he is almost starter money, right?
You, like it's you weren't getting like the big time main sports guy money?
I was not.
No,
Jason, it was not.
I wasn't getting the 10 o'clock news guy money either. I'll
yeah,
tell you
exactly.
That.
Right. Maybe, you know, it would have been a different story if they had. No, I it's when they're showing him the respect. And again, like they're close enough on salary that you have to ask yourself as a player, do I want to chase the dollars or do I want to stay somewhere where I'm valued and where I got a chance to win? And I think both Naz and Julius are saying, hey, the money's close. We'll take it. But we want to win. And we think this is the place to do it.
It does put, you know, you look at new ownership for the Timberwolves coming in and you have a general manager that people that the players like, a coach that the players certainly respect and like. And then you look at the Lynx side and there appears to be a lot of stability over there as well. Like a pretty good situation for Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez to walk into.
They were spending money before they even owned the team outright. You know what I mean? Like they were redoing stuff in the arena and making improvements. So these are two guys that have the money and they're willing to spend it. And that truly, I guess that's what it takes. But when you have a guy like a core like the Timberwolves have, and you have a chance to really do something here, you look at the longevity. I mean, Julius Randle's not young, he's not old, but this could be his chance to win. And he sees that here.
Big weekend for Minnesota high school hockey players as they get drafted to the NHL and the PWHL. 23 Minnesotans. Pretty impressive.
We're the state of hockey.
Well,
that's what they say. This is what you see. And I mean, it's one of those things. You know, you look at how we play hockey in Minnesota and I don't think a lot of people don't necessarily know this, but you know, our numbers are higher, not just because hockey's popular here, but hockey's affordable here. Mm. If you go to other states, it's way more expensive. So you say, oh man, I don't want to pay this much for hockey here. But if you go to Arizona or Michigan or Massachusetts, you're going to pay three or four times what you pay here, if not more than that.
So the Frost did not take any Minnesota players. I think it's sort of hilarious to think like an NHL team should draft a hometown player. The Wild didn't take any hometown players either. I suppose if I think that's ridiculous for the Wild, maybe it's ridiculous for the PWHL. I don't know. They're in a different spot where they're trying to build. a fan base. So I see where there's more benefit to drafting the hometown player. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, ultimately, things have to line up, right? You have to have a need for that player, and then that player has to be available. There's 32 or however many other teams, less than obviously in the PWHL, that probably also have those needs. And the people making these decisions, yes, it's great to have a local kid for a fan perspective.
Sure.
But that kid may not be the best person that you want at that position. And two, and this is something that I don't think a lot of people think about, there's a ton of pressure playing at home. And we've seen it across sports.
True.
Playing professional sports in your hometown can have a ton of pressure. Ask Zach Parise. There's so many who have done it, and it's not easy. It's hard to do. It's hard to be able to carry that weight. Ask Joe Mauer. He certainly felt it here, too. So it's not always the best decision to draft a local kid. From a fan perspective, great, but maybe not from a sport perspective.
Dave Schwartz is with us. I want to break. When we come back, we will talk about the Twins, and we will talk about your pedicure. First pedicure, I saw this on your social media. And will I roast you or will I praise you? I mean, stay tuned. Dave Schwartz in just a minute here on Drive Time. We will get to Dave Schwartz's pedicure. This is the deep tease for the show today. It's a little off-brand. It's a little off-brand, but I like it. So Dave got a pedicure. But first, Minnesota Twins took one game in Detroit. Is it wrong that I feel like that's pretty good? Like, I was hoping that we would not get swept by the Tigers. They're that good this year.
Yeah. I mean, and last night, they run up against Tarik Skubal, who is unbelievable this year. He's 10-2. He's got an ERA of 2.15, and he just, every Twins hitter looked outmatched against him, I think, at least most of them. And,
yeah.
So, yes, I agree. I think the fact that they didn't get swept is probably a good thing.
Yeah, and honestly, yesterday's pitching for the Twins, I thought was pretty good. It's pretty good. I mean, obviously, you don't want to give up three runs, but three runs in with the sort of offense that you get right now, I don't know. I don't feel that bad about the Chris Paddock performance. I thought he did okay.
You would hope giving up three runs wouldn't like necessarily knock you out, like put you out of a game, right? You'd hope in most games that your team can get you three on the board, or at least.
I mean, Skubal struck out 13, like it was unbelievable. I don't know, 10 or 11 of them were struck out swinging too. It was amazing.
And again, like he's one of the best pitchers in the game today. Certainly, probably the best in the AL Central, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, lay it on me. Why did you get a pedicure this week?
I will. So, first of all, if you know I'm injured, so I can't actually, let me get real gross here, but I can't trim my toenail. I don't have the hands to do it. My lovely wife offered, and I said, "Oh, honey, we're not there yet.
No.
We've been married. We just passed our 19th wedding anniversary last week.
Congrats.
But I said, no, I can't do that. So my daughter and suggested, hey, come get a pedicure. And I said, you know what? I will. I'll do it. Can't fish, so I might as well do something.
Was that your first pedicure in your life?
Oh, yeah. It was the first one.
And what'd you think about it?
It was interesting. I think my wife said I made some very interesting faces. It was a little odd when they start digging into your toe. And
yeah.
It wasn't so bad.
Are you ticklish at all? Like that is sort of
no.
Okay.
Oh gosh, no. After years of playing hockey, my feet have almost no feeling left in them.
I suppose so.
There's nothing there. So it was, it was interesting. I asked the woman if she drew the short straw by having to work on me.
But
today.
It was kind of sweet. Like it was you and did your daughter all, she got a pedicure as well.
My wife and my daughter. Yeah. So it was a way for us all
sweet.
To bond together. Yeah. I gave it, you know what? I would do it again. It wasn't too bad.
You should, did you leave that as a Google review for the establishment? It's real nice.
I said, this was not the worst experience of my life. Would frequent here again.
Dan was saying before, no chance that he would do it. No chance.
You know what? I said it too. And then all of a sudden you're like, hey, this isn't so bad.
I got to say, like, I think yeah. Chad and I got pedicures together once. My wife and I have gotten pedicures.
No, there's a severe mental block that I, whatever
it's
the opposite,
so nice.
Whatever, if somebody has like a foot fetish, whatever the opposite of that is, that's mm-hmm. how I feel about
that's
feet.
You?
So no, absolutely not.
Oh, they like, they kind of, you know, you get a little foot massage. They kind of shine it up.
Yeah, well.
I thought it was nice.
I mean, there's worse things in the world. I once took a hot mud bath. That was the worst thing
I've
ever
done
in
that.
My life.
Yeah.
Don't bother.
I did once get a pedicure with, like, fish. You ever see this? Like, if you're overseas, like, the little biting fish will, like...
Yeah, no.
That was
I'd be out. Although it does combine fishing and pedicure.
Yeah,
so thanks. Maybe I did.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Henry Lake is in the house. His show is next. We'll talk to you tomorrow.